Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here's the host of The Pleasure Zone, sensual movement artist, relationship and sex alchemist, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. For those of you who are truly, truly pleasure seekers and constantly seeking pleasure, I think this show will be a dynamic insight for you, give you great ideas and insights on how to maybe self-regulate. Why do I say that? Because this show today is all about what is hypersexuality, you know, where is it possibly coming from? What can we do about it? So let's start with the idea that there is something called hypersexuality, and it's defined in different ways, but a lot of times, I'll simplify the definition, is that it has to do with having and choosing to have, well, I suppose it's choosing, using sex as a way to engage with people and be able to, reiterate that, because I realize I'm actually giving you the current definition, and the old definition is a little bit different. So the current definition is it's understood in a different way. And what we used to call it was more like sex addiction. So as sex addiction, it would be that you just didn't feel like you had control over who you were having sex with, or who you were attracted to. And you would, just like alcoholism, you just didn't know how to stop. It was an addiction and it's an illness. So it was considered an illness. It has been renamed. There is still sex addiction in a different way. So there's different categories now, different like subtext to it. So what we are talking about today is more of an area that's called hypersexuality. So hyper meaning high, like more, right? And there's hypo, which is low. So hyper high sexuality. So having a lot of sexual energy and a lot of sexual drive. So if you feel like you're the kind of person who has a lot of sexual drive and like, you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're thinking this is ideal, an ideal thing to have. Yes, it can be. What it can also do is when you have really, really high sex drive, you might also sometimes be having a lot of infidelity because you're trying to find an outlet to take or put all your sexual energy and not really sure what to do with it. So you might end up going and having either extramarital affairs, cheating on your partners, all those sorts of things. And it's not that you are being an ass, it's that you're trying to find ways to work with yourself and regulate yourself. So we will talk about all of that today. So for those of you who are brand new to the station, my name is Station Inspired Choices Network is the station, and brand new to my show, The Pleasure Zone. We've been going for over 10 years, and this particular topic is one that the topic of hypersexuality is one that's been popping up on my news feed over the last little while. And one of the things about this is that I found that it was fascinating that there was both research that was inconclusive based on this, and then recently there was more conclusive research. So had I done this show last year, there would be way less information, and that's kind of the beauty of people always doing research on different topics, is that we can find that, you know, a year or two later that there's more and more information. So hypersexuality in and of itself is just considered like a compulsive sexual behavior. And so I think that was maybe the term that was called before, kind of like under sex addiction, that one of the things that happens with hypersexuality is that you have all you think about in life pretty much is your urges, your fantasies, and you probably have sense of like no control over it, the way that You know, if you're a drug addict, all you're thinking about is your next hit and you don't feel like you have control over it. So with hypersexuality, it can cause a lot of problems for you personally. We're talking like things like STDs, self-esteem issues, relationship issues, health issues, like all these things that can happen because of hypersexuality. Usually, when somebody is hypersexual, they're also not thinking too much about STD prevention. So they're just jumping in. I think sites like, some of these dating sites, I won't like specifically name them, but there are ones that are specifically geared to, find somebody to just have sex. It's the one night stands. These are set in place. They're absolutely making it easier for people with compulsive sexual behaviors, with hypersexuality, for example, to go out, swipe left, swipe right, whatever you do. I've never actually had an app on my phone. And then all of a sudden you're, hooking up with people, and these sites make it incredibly, incredibly easy to have your addiction. Can you imagine that if you had an addiction to drugs, say crack, and there was a website that was like, for all crack users, you can come on here and get your hit of crack, or you can smoke crack, whatever you do with crack. So you could go on a website, get your crack hit from anywhere in your local area, and that was legal and fine, and there was no issue around that because it's a website and it's connecting you to the people who have what you need, which is your crack. So these websites that are connecting people to their crack, which is different sexual encounters, are really not that different than, to me, than somebody who is a dealer to somebody who's an addict, and they're actually perpetuating, creating it as easy. They're not really teaching them how to deal with this or manage this, or and that's not their job. That's fine. But maybe we need somebody who's an app creator. But the people who actually would like to be able to find solutions to get out of addiction, and yes, there are like self-help sites and all that, therapy sites and all that, but specifically, like if you were having any kind of sexual addiction, and instead of going on to your crack site where you can go and get sex for, free with a stranger for the night, you instead, here, let's go onto this app, and this is what you can do. Here are five things you can do that might help your body feel a little bit more calm instead of going out and seeking it from other people who, after the fact, you might feel even more disconnected. You might feel things about yourself, self-critical judgments about yourself. You might feel, you might even go, hey, what the heck? I ended up with some kind of funky, funky stuff. Like, whether it's official STDs like gonorrhea, chlamydia, all those things, could be other STDs like HPV, could be things that you don't really think about, like, you can actually get things like strep on your genitals, and people don't really think about that as as an STD because they don't really talk about that in school. But if somebody has a strep infection in their throat and they give you oral sex, you can get strep. I mean, you can have strep and staph infections pretty much anywhere. So yeah. So instead of getting all that illness, what could we do? And what is hypersex? So the reason I'm saying all this is because hypersexuality, because it's so such an compulsive behavior that you don't even aren't necessarily aware that you're doing it, or you are kind of aware, but you also feel like you need the hit. It's something to look at from an addiction standpoint, where you need to have some tools set in place to be able to manage what's going on. So some of the things that have come up over the last little while is that there was research that linked ADHD and hypersexuality. So why would that be? So hypersexuality is one of the ways of self-regulating to cope with negative feelings triggered by difficulties in daily life caused by ADHD symptoms. So if you're feeling like hypomanic, if you're feeling like you're on that the hyperactivity zone where you're like, wah, and you can't really focus, sometimes sec having sex will help you kind of get into your body and focus. So this is one of the reasons why people with ADHD, particularly from this particular abstract from the research that I was finding, say that this is one of the reasons why this might be occurring more in people with ADHD. There have actually been numerous studies that are linking hypersexual symptomology and ADHD, but the one that I'm particularly talking about, I'll see if I can get the authors of this for you. So the authors of the of this particular article are David Giraldi, Tommaso Giannini, Mima Taffa, Antonia Del Casal, and Giacomo Chacco. So I am just reading an abstract from their work for you guys that I just thought was interesting because I have seen several different articles out there. This one was just really clear and easy to understand. And they had over 300 subjects in this study, which is a pretty good sample. I mean, you prefer to have larger samples, but this is a pretty good study of and good age range as well. So they looked at things like depression, hypomania, they looked at ADHD symptomology and hypersexuality, and they did find that there was a link between people with ADHD symptomology and hypersexuality. And one of the things that they found that was significant was that there was a link between age, gender, depression, hypomanic symptoms. That there was actually, they could find that there was a link between all of that. And also that depression played quite a role in this behavior as well. So, what would we do about that? Like, what could you possibly think would be possible to be able to, if you are using sex as a way to self-regulate? And you know, there's one thing people would just say, just go abstinence. Just like if you are, for example, you are, you know, an alcoholic, then one of the first things you do is you would go into, usually most programs tell you to go and just quit alcohol completely, right? So you go cold turkey. And so that would be one thing that you know, the first thing would be go cold turkey. Now, that doesn't necessarily solve the self-regulating issues. Your body could still be undergoing a lot of the ADHD symptoms, symptomology, but not really know what to do with it. So now you've quit cold turkey, you no longer have your method of self-regulating. So you're not like running out and having sex with random strangers anymore. What do you do? So now, so I'm taking this from two different perspectives of how you could approach this. There may be more that just kind of come through my mouth, but now what you might be having is frustration buildup. You might be having, because now you're like, how do I get rid of this energy? I'm not having sex with people. And sometimes they'll even recommend and suggest that you abstain from even masturbation because that could lead to fantasy, which could lead to taking action. It's kind of like with alcoholism, they're like, you know, I've heard people in rooms. I'm not an alcoholic, but I was in a relationship with one, so I was in Al-Anon rooms. So that's the support rooms for families and friends of alcoholics. And you know, there was always conversation about how, you know, a lot of alcoholics will just say, "Well, I just drink wine." Well, that's alcohol. And so, you know, they could go for decades claiming that they are free from alcohol. Well, they were free from the stuff they used to drink, but they just replaced it. So the same can be said, could be true for sex addiction or hypersexuality. You could just be replacing sex with people, right? Like having other people, that where you might just become a masturbation addict. Like you could just spend half your day masturbating. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's a healthy thing. And I can't tell you how many dudes brag about this. It's mostly dudes brag about, I masturbate like 25 times a day. I'm like, do you ever do your dishes, or do you ever go for a walk, or how do you get work done? Are you masturbating while you're like on video calls with people? Like how much of this do you need? That would be the same as if you're on, or I'm just going to compare it to alcoholism because that's the one I'm most familiar with. So if you were at work and you were like, I only had 25 drinks today. I only had 25 shots of vodka today. People might go, what? Only 25? Like, that's a lot of vodka. And they're sitting there having meetings with you, drinking vodka, and then or in between meetings, they're drinking vodka. That is, we would consider that to be an alcoholic behavior. So for some reason, hypersexuality has kind of slipped under the rug a bit. And some people just get really proud about, I masturbate all day long. Or I have sex with randos all the time. Okay, guys, this is something to look at in yourself. It's not about shaming yourself. It's looking at like, what am I trying to gain from this? What is the target? What's the long-term goal? And if the long-term goal is that you're thinking, for one, I don't think there is a long-term goal, because the chances of you meeting the love of your life through this kind of behavior is really slim, because you're going to be in a cycle of meeting people who are probably going through similar things as you are, addictive behaviors, and you might decide that you're going to heal together. That can happen. However, the chances are it's a one-night stand and you're probably not going to go back, because there is a level of shame that comes often with it. So you're probably having the one-night stand, and the both of you, even though sometimes some people have more pride in it and they're like, yeah, I did this and I'm so proud of myself, there might be that, but deep down there's probably a huge sense of disconnection. So why I say that is because we need to bring it to a sense of connection to self. And we're going to be talking about that in the next segment. You're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. And we're talking all about hypersexuality today.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. This is the Pleasure Zone with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Today we're talking about Hypersexuality. It's a word that I've been seeing more and more in different social media posts. We used to call it compulsive sexual disorder, but they're starting to realize that this is not necessarily a disorder, rather that it's more that it's the body's way of showing that it's trying to regulate distress. So it's referred to as a psychopathological manifestation of distress. So you don't have to memorize that or anything. But if your brain, your mind, your psychopathology is telling you that your body is under stress, what you need to do is you need to go and have sex with a rando, some random person, or you need to masturbate like 24/7. If your body is under super distress and it needs to try and regulate, now de-stressing with masturbation is legit. Your body will calm down. You're going to bring in some happy hormones. Your body is going to be able to switch some things around. However, if you're doing it 24/7, like if you were doing anything nonstop, compulsively, then that is on the edge of an addictive behavior. So if you are, and there's going to be different thoughts on this, I'm sure. So anybody who wants to argue and is in psychology and would like to argue that, cool. I'd actually love to hear different points of view on this. And some people say, so there were other thoughts back in the day. I remember when I was in psych, one of the things that they talked about was that hypersexuality, which we didn't call it that at the time, compulsive sexual disorder could be linked to things like, and it could still, this could still be true because I don't know that they took the whole history of these people that they did in some of these studies with ADHD, that it could still be true that some of it is linked to early childhood traumas, which I think are common, more common than we'd like to admit. And early childhood stress is that we never were given ways to manage. So if you are a hyperactive child and you were told to calm down, well, your body's not calming down. So learning how to navigate that energy, and if you're not allowed to move it out of your system, jumping up and down, doing whatever you need to do for a few minutes to regulate yourself, then you might turn to something that you can do privately that nobody can see. And what could you do privately that nobody could see would be that you could go masturbate, or you could go do something privately, like exploration with, people when you're little or whatever. So there's different reasons for sure. I don't think we can be totally conclusive on all hypersexuality is linked to ADHD and that's it, and ADHD just happens. No, I think there's like a lot more to that. And the cool thing is that there are always studies being done and there's more and more information always coming out. So if you go back and listen to this show years from now, it could be like 2029, and you go back and listen to this show from 2024, and you might go, oh wow, there's been a lot of research since then. Fascinating. So just keep in mind the time and date where I'm actually offering this information, and it can change over time. So what I wanted to mention is, like, how do we actually do other things in order to have your body calm down? Like, what are the choices, right? So number one, getting in connection with yourself. So if your body is needing some kind of way to dump energy, and you're, trying to get out of the hypersexual activity, you're trying to find new ways to be able to regulate yourself, there's a lot of different ways. And I have to say that if you have no ideas, number one, start with, if you are mobile, if you're able to walk, walk. If you're not able to walk and you're in a wheelchair and you have some level of mobility in your body, shake your hands out. You can move your arms. You can get some of the different your body moving in order to help your body start to shift some of the hormones. So if you start to walk, number one, if you can walk on grass barefoot, you're going to start to feel connection to the earth. Now, you might, if you do have ADHD and you happen to be on the ADHD spectrum, like autism and ADHD spectrum, you might, and I don't think that word is correct anymore, if you happen to have autism. So walking on the grass might really annoy you. You might not like the texture or feeling of it. So it's up to you. But I would highly recommend that you get yourself connected to your body. So recognize that you have a body, number one, and that you actually can work in tandem with your body. Your body is not on your body is not like an autonomous robot doing its own thing and taking over and taking charge of you. It's you are actually, once you start to get in connection with your body, you can have a lot more sense of, what's the word for it? A lot more sense of self-control. We'll go with that. So, number one to get in contact with your body is usually, there's a feeling of not being connected to your feet and kind of always being flighty in your head. So getting connected to your feet can be really helpful. So if you don't like putting your feet on the grass, don't worry, that's not your only way. You can hold your feet or have somebody hold your feet. They can put their palms of their hands to your feet, or you can put your own palms of your hands to your feet. Now, if you have like a real aversion to feet, just go to the ankles. If you have an aversion to your body and you have hypersexuality, I think that's a whole other conversation, because if you have an aversion to being able to connect with your own body and all you're trying to do is have sex with other bodies to either unconsciously trying to have a connection to somebody or something, or self-regulate, or both, self-regulating through somebody else, that's a whole other conversation. There's probably a lot of other things going on. So we're talking about if you are willing to actually connect with your body, and how do you do that? So start with your feet. They're usually highly ignored. Move to your calves. So you can actually just start with, like, hold your foot, hold your calf, hold your thigh for a minute. Just hold your body. You can also do some things where you can release some stuff in your nervous system and your fascia. And you can do things like, so like your right hand to your left jaw, you can just start to like move some things by rubbing your body. You can tap it out, you can rub it out, you can do some things around your clavicle to rub it out, under your armpits, down your body, into your groin as well, because you might have a lot of tension, stress in the fascia of your genitals and down right into your pubic bone. So you could actually go and have that work done, where you would have somebody do myofascial release in on your body, and specifically they'll probably find a lot of tight fascia into your hips, into your buttocks, into your pelvic area. So releasing that can also help get some of the tension and stress out of there, which might be coming, so it could be coming from a few things. It could be coming from that, too much energy is being built up there. It's not necessarily being used for creativity. It could be people might call it sexual frustration, but what it might actually be is just a lot of energy hanging out, if we're talking chakras, in your root chakra and in your reproductive area, your sacral chakra. So there could be just like an abundance that needs to move. So moving that, you can do it through movement, through touch, through actual manipulation, like through myofascial release, through body work, like somatic body work that I do. That's another thing that you could do that can help change some of that. And you can also do creative things. You could paint, draw, and that will move that creative energy out too. So if you are somebody who is hypersexual and you really would like to be able to be having your sexual energy do something for you rather than against you, which, if you're having sex with random people and potentially getting ill from it, or mentally ill or physically ill from it, then you could always switch it over and look at the creative things that you maybe always did as a child, or maybe things you'd like to learn how to do. And sometimes you need to go out and look for inspiration. And what I like to do to look for inspiration is either look at look at what is it that I am like really attracted to watching. So I love watching videos on cleaning, but I also love watching videos on lathe work. Like when somebody puts like a hunk of wood on a lathe and turns it into a bowl, I love watching woodworking. And I also love watching glass blowing and pottery. So those are all fun to me. So I know that if I need to go self-regulate, some things that I can do are things that I like to do. So the easiest one is go organize and clean, because I know that I as much as I can avoid it, I also like having things tidy and put away. So I can help self-regulate by doing that. I also know that I like to watch woodwork. So I happen to live in a forest, and I could grab wood and I could whittle away. That could also help me self-regulate. Now I love glass blowing and I don't have easy access to it, but watching videos on glass blowing can be just as satisfying for me as actually doing it. Well, almost. I really love doing it. And getting my hands in stuff like clay. So if it's not clay, I can put my hands in mud in the garden and just move it around. And that also helps my body calm down. So for other people, it could be painting, drawing, sewing. It could be, riding around on an ATV. Like it could, archery. It could be like anything, guys. So just know what it is for you that helps your body calm down, feel connected, and helps shift the energy, and then do it. So sometimes we need reminders too. Like in our house, sometimes every one of us, including me, could forget. And then we're like, hey, have you gone for a walk today? Did you go do this today? Have you done that today? I was like, oh no, okay, yeah, I'll go do that. And then you do it and you feel a bit better, right? So some people love running. I personally don't, but if running is your thing, then you might also want to try that. So know that if you think you don't know what you really enjoy, then go look at other things that you do like that aren't necessarily like watching porn all day, masturbating all day. There's probably something else you like as well. Look to that as a source that you can choose and do for you in order to kind of get you out of that rut. I know that sounds like strange advice, but it's worked for me, so I'm passing it on. So we're going to head to our next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Interested in masturbating for money, copulating for consciousness, and pleasuring on purpose? 21 days of sexual magicism with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic is an exploration of tools, processes, and actions that you can use to create more for your life, your body, your money inflows, and so much more. Graduated learning for all levels of interest. Learn at your own pace via video classes or join the yearly live class. Take a peek at www.MilicaJelinic.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. So today we're talking about hypersexuality as it's been popping up on my social media feeds quite a lot lately. So hypersexuality, now I think at some point soon they're going to have different definitions. So there used to be compulsive sexual disorder, sex addiction, hypersexuality are all kind of clumped together, but there may actually be some nuances. And so there, I think they might actually redefine these in the future more in a little bit of a different way. They haven't yet, so I won't get into that, my thoughts on that. So I think one of the questions that might come up is, how do I know if I am hypersexual? Like, what if I just have really high sex drive? What if I have really high testosterone? Yes, you might have really high testosterone and you might have really high sex drive. And you might have really high sex drive, and that might not be hypersexuality. So let's talk about some of the signs of hypersexuality. So one of them is that you might be having repeatedly engage in sexual behavior, sexual conduct, contact with people, but not even just with people, but even with yourself, with no regard to whether you're harming yourself or others. So, you know, having sex with somebody and then, you know, they feel highly connected to you and you don't feel connected to them and you just walk away and you're like, meh, whatever. So you don't even care that you might have hurt them. You could be doing it to yourself too, where, you know, hypersexuality, you could be taking it to an extreme with things like autoerotic asphyxiation, where you're choking yourself, harming yourself to try and get the next high with sex. So it could be getting to a really extreme level. There also might be like a lot of time spent in your life, like consuming your life with, how am I going to get sex next? What am I going to do? What kind of fantasies are we going to have? This is what I, you know, this is how I feel, and I'm feeling sexy and I want to do A, B, C, and D to you. And sometimes it will be even to the point where with hypersexuality, it doesn't matter to you whether the person that you're with is enjoying it or not. It's like the opposite of compersion. So compersion is where you really enjoy watching somebody really enjoy themselves. This is kind of like, doesn't matter to you because you don't really care about the other person. You're just trying to get the urge to be satisfied. So another one might be that you could be repeatedly engaging in fantasies. So whether it's that, when I say engaging in fantasies, and not just that you have them in your head, it's that you're living your life constantly as a fantasy that may increase and continually have more and more danger involved. That can often happen. And it wouldn't even matter to you whether you're like depressed or happy or whatever. It's just the compulsion to keep choosing it and keep doing it. Or you could be, say, for example, at a funeral, and I'm throwing that out because there's been a lot of funerals lately. You could be at a funeral and you wouldn't care, and you would just, you know, go behind the coffin and get it on or something. Like, that is a bit extreme, right? So it wouldn't matter about the mood or the life event that's going on. You just feel compulsion to do that. So you might also have a feeling that you might be trying to control or reduce your sexual fantasies, but you're not successful at it. So if you've tried and tried and tried again, you're like, I just can't help myself, I just feel this all the time. Okay, well then that would be something that you can go talk to, usually talking to somebody who is a specialist in hypersexuality would be helpful, because they can teach you some things to look for in terms of triggers, and also teach you a few things in terms to look for in order to regulate yourself that would be a little safer, right? So I kind of mentioned find other things outside of sex that you actually have interest in. And if you really have none, this is a great time to go out and explore the world, you know, hands off your crotch and put the tech away so you don't have access to any of the porn or any of the sites that might actually, that might trigger you, that might invite you into having hypersexual actions or activity. So what are some hypersexuality triggers? So a lot of things in terms of compulsion, there's often a lot of things that will trigger that, like anger and sadness and loneliness, boredom. You might have seen something, you might have been watching a movie and something comes up and you're like, oh, that's such a turn on. And then you just feel compulsion to do something about it. You know, the next thing you know, you're either trying to get your partner to do that with you, or you're, you know, well, if you won't do that, then I'm going to go find somebody else who will do that, that kind of thing. So there's that kind of stuff that can happen. There's also a lot of trauma that can create this as well. So it can be a post-traumatic response. So sometimes hypersexuality, which I'd mentioned before, as much as it can be linked to ADHD now, they can see that. What is ADHD linked to could also be linked to things like anger, sadness, and loneliness, could also be linked to depression, and could also be linked to trauma, right? So all of them are kind of intermingling. And if you look at it from a trauma perspective, there is a lot of work that can be done to release trauma in the body. So somatic work in general, so body work, so whether you're doing somatic breath work, somatic movement, somatic breathing, yes, we said breath work. There are so many different things that you can be doing that will help your body release trauma. There's excellent work called trauma release exercises. You could take classes, you can go to sessions, you can see some on YouTube. There is all kinds of somatic movement. There are actually a lot of apps now that even include, I think there's one called Better Health, Better Me, Better Health, something like that, that has a whole program of somatic movement. If you'd like to have one-on-ones to learn about that, you can always come over. And I do body work that is somatic movement on your body to help your body release that. So you're not just doing exercises on yourself, you're actually having it done to you with your body, so that your body can release in a way that's also being observed and honored. And so then, you know, you might need to talk about stuff too while that's happening. So a lot of what hypersexuality is coming up for if, you know, if there's the anger, sadness, loneliness, trauma, whatever has triggered that, there's an internal desire to escape that trigger. So if, you know, if you feel traumatized by a sexual violence, for example, then you might do the opposite, where you decide that, well, you know, this happened to me, so I'm going to jump not only in the sack, I'm going to do that with everybody and not care about them because that's what happened to me. Somebody didn't care about me, so I'm going to go do that to others. And that is actually not that uncommon. So how do you start to move out of that? You start to care about yourself. That really helps. One of the things to do, like I was saying, get familiar with your body, then start to change your mindset. You know, you can do those simultaneously. And one of the things is to become feeling like you're more the author of your life, the authority in your life, that you are choosing your life. And one of the things that I like to say for that is I choose to know that I am the authority in my life. And then eventually I can get to the point where it's like, I choose to know that I'm the author of my life. And then I might keep saying that for like 100 times. And then eventually go, I am the author of my life. And then it might come to the place where I am. And then it might come to the place where You know, it can evolve. Those things can evolve and into other stuff too. And then I sometimes too, with like the lack of feeling loved or requiring a feeling of connection, is I choose to feel connected to everyone and everything. And you can add to that if you want, but I choose to know connection. You can start with that. I know connection. I am connection. I connect. You can see how those can evolve as well. And then, and I am, you know, I connect. I am connected. And you might go with God source energy, whatever you want to add into that. And then I choose to know God. I know God. You can go on from there. So the internal triggers can be like anger and sadness and all that. And then there's sometimes external triggers that can be like an environmental thing, seeing a person or being in a place or a situation that reminds you of something that triggers you to just go for the compulsive behavior. So know that there are triggers. Know what your triggers are. It's really helpful to know what your triggers are. What you really want to do is start to know what they are so that you, if, for example, a place triggers you, you stay away from the place. And if it's certain words or certain shows trigger your hypersexuality, stay away from those, right? You can bring other things in, because sometimes what happens is that then there's this feeling of a void, like a void, like there's nothing, right? That's avoidance. When you think of the word, it's the space of dance in a way. It's the void. And if you're in that void, you might need to have something. So finding other healthy behaviors that you probably won't get addicted to, and hopefully you don't get addicted to, but sometimes you switch addictions. You know, glass blowing, if I was an addict at glass blowing, I suppose I could have a really prolific business. It's still an addiction to work though. So, you know, addictions of any kind, we need balance. So just know what it is and avoid all that stuff. And then one of the other things you need to do is create a plan and then stick to your plan. So if your plan is that you're going to go on a date and you're not going to have sex with somebody, stick to the plan. And also, you know, usually for the first year of getting out of any addiction, it's really important to not actually date. Get to know you, number one. And then as you start to know you, then you're going to start to feel a little bit more at ease and more confident, so that you're not relying on other people to fill the void that might be happening. So finding your healthy outlet, sticking to your plan. And I'm always a fan of having more than one person to rely on. So support groups are great as well. And there are sex addiction support groups, which are really helpful to help on your healing journey. They're just like AA, but they're sexual addiction groups. And then there are also all kinds of groups that, you know, you can probably find all over social media that are support groups for hypersexuality. Definitely get your body moving, walking, and all of that jazz. I'm actually supposed to go to my next break. I will give you more tips and tools on how to manage your hypersexuality when we come back. You're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is the Pleasure Zone with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You could also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MelitzaYelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we've been talking all about hypersexuality, which has also been called sex addiction or compulsive sexual behavior. But hypersexuality, in terms of being linked to ADHD, is very fascinating to me in that there are several studies that have been out there regarding that. And so if we can find other ways of self-regulating through things like meditation and movement and finding hobbies and being able to get that energy out, and it's usually having more than one hobby, because if you have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, you probably could probably do like more than one thing at once. And you might want to have like five projects all out sitting in your craft room that you're working on all five at different times, whatever one inspires you. That one, that can be really helpful in being, and then having a target to be able to accomplish these things and finish the tasks or the projects so that you can also have those happy dopamine responses in your body for accomplishment, endorphin rushes, and all your happy hormones coming in, your dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. We need to find those in other ways so that you won't always be using sex as the way to get those happy hormones. So renegotiating your life is where we're at, having a better, healthier lifestyle. Things that can get hyperactivity really hyper, especially at night, and that can kind of affect your mood as well. There is research on how going to bed at certain later hours of the day can actually affect your, not only your mood, it can create depression, it can just put you right off track. So I feel for people who are doing night shifts, because a lot of times that can lead to some pretty harsh things in terms of mental health, unless you've been doing it your whole life and that's all you know. So where I was going with that is going to bed at a certain hour, have targets, go to bed by like 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock max. Make sure you're up with the sun around 7 or 8 in the morning. Get yourself in a routine of either movement or meditation first thing. Then, you know, try to avoid stimulants too, because your body doesn't need to be overstimulated. Also, turning off all your Wi-Fi at night so that your body isn't stimulated by anything, like all electricity off, turn all the lights off, keep all the tech out of your bedroom, have blackout curtains in your bedroom too, have your room as dark as possible so that you can have really, really intense sleep while you do sleep for the, you know, 6 to 9, 10 hours that you might be sleeping. You want to have deep, good sleep so that your body can be well rested. And then it's going to be able to be more calm in and of itself. And then in time, your body will be able to regulate itself. So like avoiding things that stimulate you after 9 or 10 o'clock. So even if you're awake till 12, you know, read a book instead of being on the internet. Anything that's tech is going to be really stimulating for your brain. It's designed to do that. You know, getting off of TV, you know, read a book instead if you need to do something to just calm your mind before you go to bed, meditate. And if you need to listen to something while you meditate, ideally not having like a whole bunch of tech on to do that would be great. But if you do need to listen to something, turn it off when you're done the meditation. Don't keep that tech at your head all night long. That's I find a lot of people do that, and it's very stimulating to the brain, whether people know that or not. So there are so many things that we can be doing to help self-regulate and have your body be more calm. And those are really important. So if you do have questions and if you're not sure where to start or what to do, you can always connect with me through my website, melitzayelenich.com. I'm happy to get on a call with you. I'm happy to go through, find out what your triggers are, find out what you need to avoid, find out what it is that you can be doing to replace those triggers. And, you know, your first 15 minutes with me is free. All you got to go is go over to that website, melitzayelenich.com. Get on my booking link on there, book a time, and we'll go through stuff and figure it out. Until then, have a great day.
Thank you for listening to The Pleasure Zone with sensual movement artist Milica Jelinic. The Pleasure Zone returns next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.